This is kind of an interesting experience for me. I've never spoken before. I play drums partially because I don't like to be in front of a microphone, so I feel a little out of sorts right now, but bear with me, and hopefully we'll all get to learn a little bit, and probably mostly just openly talk about drumming and music and worship, your role, God's role, the music's role, and all that kind of stuff that plays into it. So if you guys don't mind, I'd like to open up with a quick word of prayer. So if we can do that real quick, that'd be great. Lord, thank you so much for just giving me the opportunity to be here. It's a humbling experience, and I love it when you pull me out of my comfort zone, and I just know you're going to teach me something today. I hope that I can teach everyone who's here something today. You've blessed me with a tremendous amount of opportunities throughout my life and my career as a musician, and this is my opportunity to give back to you by being able to speak today, and I just pray that you would use me as a vessel and as a tool to speak to all these people, Lord. Open our minds, open our hearts, and all together, Lord, we praise you in our hearts and through the drumming experience that we each have. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess I can tell you a little bit about myself. There wasn't much in the syllabus about the guy who's teaching this class today. I am Chuck Cummings. I've been a drummer for over 25 years. I got involved in Christian music about 20 years ago, and I've played with a number of different bands, probably none that you've really ever heard of. Maybe a few you have. I had a recording contract for a while with Word Records with a band called Dakota Motor Company. Peter King, who was a MTV VJ and a professional surfer at the time, formed Dakota Motor Company in about 1992. And through 1996, we were signed to Word Records, and we did a lot of touring. We toured with Petra and just a number of different bands, played at Creation Festival, Cornerstone Festival, all the major festivals. And through that experience, I got hooked up with a number of different bands. The reason I'm actually here today is because Ken Samuels, who is another instructor here, he's also the music minister, I believe, or something like that at this church, asked me to come and speak because originally, when I first got saved, he and I were in a band called Common Bond together. And it was a three-piece, kind of a power rock trio. And that's how I first got introduced to Christian music. And in addition to playing throughout the Christian music scene, I've also had a number of secular projects. I've been signed to Atlantic Records. I've been signed to Elektra Records. I've toured all over the world several times. I lived in London for a year and toured over there with an Irish rock band for a while. And God's placed me in a lot of unique situations and a lot of unique experiences, some of which have been all about worship and some have been completely the opposite, where I'm the only lone soul saved guy out there amongst all the people in the industry, all the guys in the band, all the road crew and everything else. And we can get into that a little bit because I personally believe worship drumming is not about how you play as much as who you are behind a drum kit and how you interact with the people who are around you and the people that you're in contact with. So going back to what most people probably perceive as worship drumming, and that is either playing for a church, playing in a youth group band, playing in a Christian band, whether it be rock band or whatever kind of music. Really, drumming is the basic, fundamental thing when it comes to music. It's all about rhythm. Guys can play guitars, they can play keyboards, you can sing a cappella, you can do everything, but you got to have rhythm, you got to have timing. It's all about rhythm and timing. And when you're the drummer in a band, a worship band, a rock band, doesn't matter what kind of band, you are the anchor. You are the guy that holds everything together. You hold all the pieces together. If you're not playing on time, nobody else is going to be in sync. That's why so many bands are all about chemistry. They're all about who, you know, is in the band and how those people are playing together. So when you're in a worship type of situation, and you're a believer, obviously, the most important thing is opening yourself up to what God wants you to do, not what you want to do necessarily, what you think you should do. The problem with most drummers is they always want to show off. They always want to play all the fills. They want to play a fill every time a bar comes around or every time a measure comes around. They want to land on some big fill to impress everybody. Probably because we sit in the back, all the other musicians are in front of us, and we think, hey, I'm here, look at me. The thing that God's taught me through the many years that I've been playing is that less is more. And it's great to be a technical drummer, and it's great to know a lot of fills, because in your arsenal of what you can bring to a certain situation, whether it be a recording or whether it be a live performance, yeah, you definitely want to have your technical chops in order, and you want to be able to play whatever's presented to you. I mean, that's a sign of a good drummer. But you also don't want to get into a situation where you're constantly trying to, you know, flaunt what you have. God's given all of you, if you're all drummers, everybody in here a drummer, by the way, or somebody not a drummer who's just kind of interested? 1, 2, 3, couple people? Okay. You know, God's given everybody a unique talent. And, you know, when I first got saved, I never thought of my ability to drum as a God-given talent. I just thought it was my hobby. It was my fun thing to do. And it was one of those things where through certain situations that God put me in and playing, where I started to realize, hey, I'm able to bring something to the table here in this band or in this situation that blesses other people. And my ability, like I said, is not speaking necessarily. It's not writing. It is playing. I have something inside me, a clock, a metronome that I just, you know, hear time to, and I can instantly hear what beat needs to go with this particular part. And so that's how God blessed me with an ability to drum. And of course, yes, it was a passion, and it was something that I wanted to do as a career, but God kind of directed that path and gave me a lot of different experiences, both in and out of the Christian music scene, to kind of round me out so that I can now, many, many years later, step into just about any kind of situation and hopefully bless the people whom I'm with in my ability to just do what they want me to do rather than what I want to do and show them how great I am or anything like that. By the way, I'm not a very good technical drummer. When I was a little teeny kid, I went to drum lessons. My mom took me because I was banging on everything in the house. And they had us all line up, all these little kids. We lined up these chairs, we all had a snare drum in front of us, and they taught us how to do rudiments, right, left, right, right, left, right, left, left. And I was trying to do these rudiments, you know, and I was watching everybody else, but I was still doing them, trying to make sure I was doing right. And the teacher came over and stood by me, and he said, you know, this kid's got something good timing, I heard, and he's ambidextrous and these things. And I thought they were talking smack on me, so I quit. That was the only lesson I ever took in my whole life. But I love drumming so much that I prayed all the time when I became a Christian. Lord, I know I'm not the greatest vessel for a drummer, but I just love it so much. It's in my heart. It's something that I just really want to do. And if you'll open the opportunities, then I'll be faithful in representing you wherever I go as best I can. And with worship drumming, I do truly love it. I play here at church sometimes when I have the opportunity, and I love a situation when you can get in with like-minded musicians, and God's Spirit plays through you, literally. Just guides your hands and your feet, and you know it. You feel it. It's an indescribable feeling. I don't read charts. It's all by feel. It's all by ear. If somebody tells me, you know, when I come here on Sunday mornings, they'll, you know, have a whole list of worship songs, and I'll look at them, and I'll go, don't know one of them. I've heard, once they get started, I've heard them and I recognize them, but I can't look at the title and go, oh yeah, I know that song. So worship drumming is really kind of more you taking kind of a back seat and sitting down and going, okay, Lord, I need you to kind of play through me, if you will, and feel the music, feel it in your heart, and not so much your head. And I think you'll find through the different experiences that you have that more often than not, when you get into that kind of circumstance, if you kind of humble yourself and sit back, you'll find that you play a lot better. And I've had some amazing experiences where literally in the middle of a show, not so much like playing at church, but like at a big show in front of, you know, 30 or 40,000 people, and there's a lot of people, and you get caught up in the moment, the lights and the crowd and the screaming, you play, and you're like, you know, I'm kind of it, and I'm playing and having a great time. But all of a sudden, I'll start making mistakes. And it's that little voice inside my head that says, you know, go back to the beginning. Go back to why you're here. You know, I have to kind of humble myself and go, okay, Lord, I need you to kind of get me back on track. And I'll listen to that show later on, and I can pinpoint the moment that I had that little voice, that voice of the Lord speaking to me, going, you're off the beaten path here. You've gone off, and you're now a showman, and I want you to come back and be, you know, the anchor for the band, because my message is coming through this, not just the drummer. So it's important to just really, really try and be in touch with God and how He wants you to, you know, to perform with a band. Something I'll just touch on really briefly, and that is an experience I had when I was a real young Christian. And this is years ago, probably at least 20 years ago, when I first started playing with Christian groups and I started playing at church. I was approached by a lot of believers who really thought that drums were evil. And they thought that the devil had created drums and drumming, and all drum companies were evil, and that this was all part of Satan's master plan to destroy what God created as far as music, other instruments. You know, there's always tons of drummer jokes. You know, what's a guy who hangs out with a musician? He's a drummer. Well, that's because we never got no respect. That's right. Absolutely, sure. Anyway, yeah. So I got hit pretty hard with the Bible thumpers who really thought that drums were of the devil, and I was a new believer, and you know, I didn't have a lot of scripture to really back up. Like, I can't go back to Leviticus or something and say, "See, there, you know, there's this passage. You know, there's clanging of cymbals, and there's this and that." But I wasn't a new enough Christian to know that, and I just really prayed, and I just said, you know, God, you need to open these people's hearts and minds, because drumming is an essential part of how music is communicated to the masses. And we all know how important music is nowadays in our culture, in our society. Pretty much everybody listens to the radio. Everybody's got a CD player in their car now. And, you know, people are buying music all the time. And it's about, you know, the message that's being conveyed a lot of times through there. And I'm not saying that a mainstream band can't communicate a positive message or a Christ-centered message for that matter. But again, being a worship drummer, you can be in a regular band and still be a worship drummer. It's attitude, it's your heart, it's your relationship with Christ that makes the difference. I don't know if there's like anything I can do on this drum kit that would make sense to you guys about how to play worship music. You know, it's all about whatever else is being played. It's all about the attitude of the song and what the purpose of the other musicians are. You know, it's one thing to sit down in a drum kit and just, you know, wail away and show, you know, what you can do and what you know. I don't know that there's anything that you should do or shouldn't do. I mean, it's pretty much open game. You can do anything you want as long as it fits, as long as it's in keeping with what else is being played. Again, I go back to this mindset and this feeling in your heart. That's truly what worship drumming is all about. I have a very good friend, Terrell Bryant. He lives in England. He used to live here in the States for a while, played with Steve Taylor for a number of years, and then went on actually as a Christian to play in Peter Murphy's band. Peter Murphy was a singer of Bauhaus, very dark band. And Terrell maintained his faith and his walk with God, and God opened up tremendous opportunities for him playing with Peter Murphy as they traveled around the world. Terrell started something called Psalm Drummers. Anybody ever heard of Psalm Drummers? A couple people. It was an opportunity for other drummers and percussionists to get together basically in a room. The first meeting was just a few people to get together and just play. And you know how drummers are. Somebody will lay down a groove, maybe a simple 4-4 groove, and somebody else would step in and start playing. And it was cool because you had guys who were on congas and people who had other percussion instruments, and maybe there's one or two full drum kits there. And Psalm Drummers has grown into kind of a worldwide thing now where people get together in large groups and play drums. And it's a rhythmic experience, not to make any pun, but it truly is, because rhythm, again, it sets your soul free. It's amazing. It's all about connecting with that instrument. And drums are so unique because there are so many different things. And, you know, you can have a single drum. You can have, you know, like a snare drum or even a djembe or something like that. Or you can have, like, Terry Bozzio's set, which is, you know, 40 or 50 actual drums in one kit. And, you know, and that guy plays them all. And he plays things that my mind can't even comprehend. But, you know, the cool thing is the difference in the extremes is when you are a believer and you're allowing the Spirit of God to play through you, you can still speak to people through one drum or through 50 drums. It doesn't really matter. It's all about, you know, who you are and your relationship with God. And even the most simplistic drummer can still make a tremendous statement. I mean, Larry Mullen from U2 is not a particularly technical drummer, but man, that guy feels what the music needs, and that is so crucial to playing with bands. I just want to wrap with you guys and just try and answer questions and maybe share some personal experiences and stuff like that. Anybody want to start by asking a question or a thought or anything? This is always the hardest part. This is the part where everybody kind of looks around and goes, I don't know. I don't know, dude. How about you? Anybody?
Anybody have anything?
Come on, you guys. Okay, break the ice. It's done. Ask me a question. Okay, worship drumming. Go for it. Okay, the question, in case nobody heard it and I have to repeat it because I'm talking into a tape player that I can't see, is can you explain the relationship perhaps between a drummer and, say, a bass player? And again, bass player, rhythm section, the bass player and the drummer are kind of anchoring everything down. So yeah, drumming and bass playing going together are crucial. And again, it comes down to chemistry a lot of times. You can have a very technical bass player who knows a lot of notes and a lot of runs, but if he's not feeling what you're feeling and vice versa, you guys aren't going to connect. And so you have to have a connection with everybody in the band, but yeah, you got to have a deeper connection with the bass player. And as far as, you know, you've got to be able to land on the fundamental notes together. Your kick pattern has to be in line with the notes that he's playing, or else, you know, a lot of times you guys are out of sync and playing all over the place. There's no anchor there. Even if the kick is landing on, you know, 1 and 3, and that's all it's doing, just straight, simple, as long as the bass is doing that, at least those notes, and then playing around you, then it's locked in. I know that my friend Marty Deckmeyer has a session going on as well with an actual drummer, and they're going to talk about that specific relationship between drumming and bass playing and probably be able to kind of give you some actual, you know, hands-on correlation and relationship to that. But yeah, I mean, obviously it's important, but it's really important to maintain a really good relationship with the other musicians, and especially the bass player, and just knowing, you know, his style of playing and your style of playing, and how they come together and fit in a song. Anything else? Anybody? Yeah, I mean, the question obviously is, you know, in playing in a church situation where you are usually the loudest instrument, it's not like we have a volume knob. Unless you're playing electric kit. Anybody here playing electric kit in church? Anybody? You had to buy one? All right. How many of you guys play like regular acoustic drums? Oh, it's music to my ears right there. I love acoustic drums. Granted, electric drums, cool. They have their place. I played on a Simmons electric kit for a while. I had to go to the doctor because I was hitting it so hard that I got carpal tunnel syndrome. So I got rid of it. good question, good answer, but I'll give you another answer. The question was, where's a good place for an electric kit? Someone said the trash can. I wholeheartedly agree. No. Electric kits, well, hey, if you're going to practice at home and you live in an apartment or you live close to your neighbor, electric kits are good because you are able to keep your chops up. You are able to learn material in a drum kit environment instead of just listening to a song over and over and then getting to the gig or to the show and hoping that you can play the song, because now you're actually behind a kit. And, you know, most of the time when you go and you play, you're not behind your own kit unless you're fortunate enough to be able to bring your own kit. But you got to go and you got to walk into a situation like this. Okay, we have our CB700 International kit today. It is missing one of the bass drum spikes, so it rocks. And but you know, a lot of times when you go out and you play, especially when you do fly dates, like if you're in a band or if you're a hired out musician and you go to do fly dates, and the church says, "Oh, don't bring anything. Bring your sticks. We got a kit. It's totally cool. It'll be great." And you get there, and it's your CB700 that has not had the drum heads changed in over 2 years. And the sticks are not matching. One's about an inch shorter than the other, and it's a 7A, and the other one's like a 2S. And so you have a club in one hand and a pencil in the other. And you got to tape up the pedal to make it work. So sometimes when you go and there's electronic kit there, you may not really want to play it, but you're kind of thankful sometimes because at least you know you can dial in John Bonham's kit or something like that, you know, and you can get the tones that you want. But there are applications for electronic kits, and obviously small rooms, smaller PA systems where acoustic drums will overpower a small PA system. You know, a lot of worship teams and things, you know, they really want to focus on the vocals and the lyrics and letting people sing along. And, you know, let's face it, acoustic drums are loud. You can put, you know, the plastic shields in front of you, yeah. Bulletproof shields or whatever you want to put in front of you so that you don't get shot by anybody in the audience for playing too loud. But electronic kits are great for rehearsing, great for practicing, especially in small environments. And they do have applications, practical applications in small venues and small churches, especially when there's just not a lot of amplified sound to overcome the acoustic nature of the drums. Well, another point I'll get to you in just a second. Another thing you can do in playing, you know, when you're too loud, I mean, obviously you're going to try going to a thinner, lighter stick, maybe trying a different head combination to where your attack is not quite so much when you're striking the drum. But, I mean, you can try playing with, you know, rods. I've had to modify brushes. I don't know if you've seen the hot rods that have the little slats. And I've actually dipped those. I've spread them apart and dipped them in resin so that when I'm playing the cymbals, I actually get enough attack off the cymbals, and I can actually ride the cymbal with that and have it be a little bit brighter, because that way you're not hitting with a solid stick. You're hitting with something that is perforated or stripped out, and you're able to diffuse the sound in that way. So that's an idea too. I mean, that's a custom thing that I... Yeah. Because I surf too, so I patch surfboards and things, and I got this wacky idea one day when I had too much resin when I was patching a board. I thought, you know, I'm going to go grab one of those hot rods, and I just stuck it down in there, and I let it kind of gel, and then I set it out in the sun, and it kind of got these little just coats of plastic, well, resin on the outside of the wood. And then so after I let it dry, then I went and I played with it. Now, it'll chip off after a while, but, you know, it'll get you through a set, which is kind of a cool idea. So, yeah, go ahead. Good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, dynamics, yeah. Yeah, and it comes back to, it is really kind of a control issue. And, like, for me, I'm a very heavy, hard-hitting drummer. I grew up with rock music, and, I play hard. And it's a real challenge for me to get into a situation where I have to play light. But you know, this gentleman brought up a very good point. You know, it's a submission issue, and it's a situation where a lot of times I'll go in and I'll immediately know, oh wow, this is going to be a real challenge. But I look at it and I go, Lord, you know what? Help me to play soft. Help me to play what I need to play. Help me to choose the right stick. Help me to tune the right way. And help me to feel the dynamics. It's so easy drumming to just get caught up in the song and caught up in the moment. Again, it's all rhythmic, and it's like it's in your blood, it's in your heart, it's in your soul, and you just want to play. And you really have to show restraint a lot of times. And again, that comes down to just being able to control that dynamic of an acoustic kit. It's really hard, I understand. And I will say this, how many of you guys, being drummers, and you go to a church or you go to somebody else's worship thing, and you're out there and the drummer is not keeping good time? How hard is it for you to worship? For me, it's almost impossible. I can't help it. It's like I'm trying to get into it, and I'm like thinking the whole time, guys, not on, man. He's like speeding up, he's slowing down, he's, you know. And so put yourself in that guy's position. That's where the control issue comes into play, and that's why working with a metronome, great idea. I worked with a click track for about 4 or 5 years because I had a timing issue when I first got it started with drumming. I would speed up and slow down, and now I just basically have a mental clock in my head. Although the band that I play with live, I do play with a Dr. Rhythm, and I have headphones, little earbuds that I play with, and I set the tempo for every song and I play with it. Just because I'm used to doing it. And, you know, that really helps anchor the rest of the band, because some of the guitar players will just go off to the races and they'll drag you along with them. You're like trying to hold down the beat, go, hey, 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 guys, I'm in this room. You're out there. What are you doing? Get back here. So working with a metronome is really, really an important thing to do to try and help you with your timing. Because, yeah, when you're praising the Lord playing the drums, a lot of times you're not paying attention to the timing. And if you've got that metronome in your head, or if you've worked with it enough, it really does kind of sit in the background of your mind, and it helps to anchor you down. But very important for drummers, especially in worship, because it's all about feel. And if the timing and the feel is not there, it's really hard for other people out there who are listening to the whole package to really, you know, be there as well. Some people don't notice it, but you guys all probably do, because you're all got rhythm in you. Yeah. Well, worship, you know, the thing with worship is that it really is open, dynamically especially, because you're kind of trying to go with the leading of the Holy Spirit, and if God's telling the worship leader, bring it down, bring it down, bring it down, and you're playing and you're hitting hard and you're not watching, you're not in tune with what's happening, then sometimes, yeah, it's a little awkward. But yeah, my suggestion really is, in a situation like that where you're playing, and this is a regular group that you kind of play with, a regular group of guys, I mean, or people, I should say, I don't want to exclude girls especially, but yeah, I mean, I think in a situation like that where maybe you have a chronic problem with a player slowing down, in the band I play with, phenomenal guitar player, but he slows down, and so I always have to keep time. And even when the music drops out, I will keep time on the hat, even though it's a little awkward sounding because nothing drops out completely, but that helps him to stay on track. You know, maybe it's just a situation where you need to sit down with him and say, hey, you know, if you're able to listen back to what you've played, like if the church or whatever tapes the performance along with the message, and you can listen to it and just say, hey, you know, for the betterment of the whole group and for the worship to flow, here's what I'm feeling, and I really want you to be able to pay attention to the fact that I'm going to stay on time, and if you feel it dragging, I'm not going to slow down with you. I'm going to keep it there at that point. I mean, again, the submission issue comes into play because now you're the drummer telling the worship leader what to do. You don't want to get into that situation necessarily, but it should be some kind of a communication between you and him that where you work it out to whether if he says, you know what, I just got to go with the flow, man, and if the flow is telling me to slow down right here, then I'm going to slow down, then you're going to have to be sensitive to that because that's his gig and you're there to basically support him, you know. So it's just a good communication, you know, thing to work out with your people. Well, that's a great point to bring up, because I have a Yamaha oak set, and oak is very dense wood, and it's very, very resonant, and it projects really, really well. And the two reasons I like that, yeah, I play an oversized kit too, a 24-inch kick and a 13-inch rack and an 18-inch floor. And it's big. These are big sounding drums. And you put those in a church hall, it's not going to cut it for worship stuff. So be sensitive when you're going out and doing gigs and or when you're at a church. A lot of times churches will have a set there that's kind of not necessarily matched for the church. But, you know, because a lot of times, you know, the people who are buying the kits for the church, you know, they're like, oh, well, this one looks good. Let's get this one. You know, they have no... Yeah, it's a budget. Yeah, we got $500 to spend on a drum kit, and this one's $398. Gee, that we could save $100, you know. So, yeah, that's why this is the drum set of choice for most churches. But yeah, so be sensitive to the room and what kind of shells you've got. You know, maple's a much warmer wood, and will absorb a little bit of that tonality than say a birch or an oak, which is a real projective type of wood. And you know, you obviously, you guys know your drummers. You can have 100 different head combinations and tuning positions, infinite tuning positions, and maybe. You know, it's just a matter of kind of getting used to your room and going in when nobody else is there and putting on a new set of heads. And I know that costs money. Maybe you can help, you get the church to help supplement that or whatever. But, you know, a lot of churches, they don't change their heads for years. You know, they feel like, oh, you know, like art, it just gets better with age. And, you know, they don't understand that, you know, hitting that over and over and over again tends to, you know, wear out its ability to respond to a stick hit. So, yeah, changing the heads is really important, and the head combinations that you use. I mean, I use a coated head on the top of all of my drums just because it's a little bit warmer. I usually use a 2-ply coated on the top and a clear on the bottom. But you can use 2-ply on the bottom, 1-ply on the bottom. I mean, it's an infinite number, and it's really just is going to kind of depend on your circumstance. And again, the other thing, too, is that, and this is really hard, like when you're going and you're doing gigs and you're using your own kit and you're coming from, say, playing, you know, with your buddies or you're playing in your rock band and you got to go do the worship thing, you know, it's a lot of work. People don't understand, you know, you got to haul all that stuff around, and then you've got to either tune it or change the heads to kind of match where you're playing and the environment and the music you're playing, and then you might be having to also play with hot rods. I mean, it's incredibly difficult. And drummers are very talented people because they can really adapt to a lot of different situations. I mean, yeah, amps have volume knobs that, like I said before, drums do not have volume knobs. You are the volume knob for your drum kit. So, anybody else with any, the suggestions are awesome, by the way, because you guys are all drummers and you're all able to kind of communicate with each other here and you're all in one place rather than walking around. So this is a great opportunity for you to talk amongst yourselves, which is great. And I'll interject when I can. Yeah. My influences personally, I kind of run the gambit. I grew up, because I'm a lot older than I look. So I grew up on, when I was a little kid, I listened to, you know, Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath and a lot of like early 70s, mid 70s rock stuff, Deep Purple, Foghat, a lot of those, you know, bands. I was really into that kind of stuff. And then I had a couple of gigs where I played and toured and was signed to some secular mainstream labels, and then I got saved. And when I got saved, you know how you are when you're a brand new Christian, you get rid of all your records. So I had about 400 records, but I boxed them up. Yeah. vinyl records. I was watching this Rockstar Supernova the other night. I don't know if anybody saw that show. It's kind of a funky show. It's rock and roll's answer to American Idol. And anyway, the band Supernovas is got Jason Newsted in it, and Tommy Lee is the drummer. And they were talking about, one girl said something about records, 45s, and they were trying to explain, you know, like, you know, 45 is the old, you know, record that you put on a record player. And, you know, it's true. I mean, you think about how old records are, you know, I had a record collection of about 400 records, and I just didn't have the heart. Something inside of me just said, Chuck, throw away these records? Are you crazy? You know, there's some classic stuff on here. I mean, you know, why don't you just box them up and just see what God says to do with them in a couple years? Well, that couple years turned into now. I still have them boxed up. I haven't opened them, but they're still there, you know? And I want to keep them because now they're going to be worth something in the future, not, you know. I grew up listening to a lot of 70s stuff, and then I got saved, and I put those records away, and I started listening to Christian music. And, man, I had to really bite my tongue because I was not impressed with what I was hearing. I really felt the Christian musicians were really lacking. And I thought the musicianship was lacking. I thought the songwriting was lacking. And I thought that they were really, my opinion, this is not to say anybody else should feel this way, but my opinion was Christians were taking the easy road out. And my position was, hey, wait a second. You are an ambassador for the Lord. You need to be better than that stuff, not worse. You need to be a better player. You need to be a better communicator. You need to be a better songwriter, better singer, better everything. Because when you're out there playing and you tell people you're a Christian and you suck, guess what? Christ sucks then too. Because you're playing and you're playing terrible, and that guy and who doesn't know the Lord's out there going, see these Christian musicians, man, they just suck. They can't play. So you need to be on your game, man. You need to be out there, because when we are out there playing, whether it's in a church, because remember, there's non-believers come to church, whether it's non-believers coming to church or non-believers coming to your gig, you got to be a good player, and you have to be able to. Be humble and show humility. And that's why a lot of times I love being in bands where there aren't any other Christians, because I've been in bands where there's Christians, and unfortunately, there's a lot of hypocrisy, and there's a lot of backstabbing, and there's a lot of stuff that shouldn't be going on. But when I'm in a non-Christian band, I expect that stuff to hit me. But you know what? It's my ability and my desire to turn around and let it flow off my back and say, you know what, I'm an ambassador for the Lord, and I'm going to show grace here, and I'm going to show self-control here, and I'm going to show, you know, compassion here, or whatever the case may be. And again, coming back into this idea of worship drumming, it's truly a mindset, you know, it's truly a heartfelt thing, and you should be able to take it beyond your church and beyond your youth group and apply it to whatever drumming experience you have. And I know that I might be at odds here with what you're taught from your pastors and things like that. I don't know if the teaching is still around that, you know, when you're a believer, you shouldn't be unequally yoked with non-saved musicians and so forth. You know, I just didn't come from that school of thought. I mean, from day one, when I got saved, God told me, you need to be around these people because they need help. And if I can be a light to them and I can be salt to them, and make them thirsty, then maybe they'll ask questions and maybe they'll want to get involved in Christianity. The band I play in right now is a non-Christian, secular band. The singer is the former bass player from Great White, and he's seen the gambit of rock stardom. And in his office, he has platinum records all over the place, and you know, he's played Monsters of Rock and all this kind of stuff. But you know, the cool thing is, I've been playing with him for almost a year. And the cool thing is, we played a show in Vegas last month. We're playing one again this weekend. And on the drive out there, he says, you know, what do you believe? I mean, what is it that you believe? I mean, when you die and just, I know you're a believer, you're a Christian and all that stuff. You know, what do you believe? That whole ride out there, we got to talk about God. That was freaking awesome. That was awesome. That was better than playing the gig for me. You know, the gig was fun and there was, you know, the rewards of being able to play, but I enjoy being in that environment. I'm not saying that that's right for everybody, because maybe some people, you know, God's called you to you know, be within the body and work within the body, but my heart is a worship drummer's heart, and every time I get behind a kit, whether it's in Vegas or whether it's here at this church on Sundays when I do play occasionally, my goal is, okay, Lord, speak through me, play through me. I want to be able to you know, touch people through the music and through drumming. And that's what your attitude should be always, you know, no matter what environment you're in. So, did I answer your question? I just kind of tended to ramble there. I apologize. I don't want to say that Christian musicians are bad, because I'll tell you what, they've gotten a lot better over the last few years, especially. Like, I've played shows in the past with POD, Jars of Clay, Sixpence, Switchfoot, known all those guys, and those guys are people that have, in a lot of ways, really stepped up and gotten on their game and have really done some amazing things. And you know what? God's elevated them to a level to where they can speak to the masses and they can be out there, you know, as a light to a lot of the rest of the world. So I think it's really cool. But back when I first got saved and I started listening to Christian music, I was just really disappointed. But I'm really happy to see that a lot of people have really taken it seriously now and gotten really good at their craft and are able to be right up there with everybody else in the game. So, anything else? Anybody? Thoughts? Everybody in here, player? Even the girls? Players? Yeah? Yeah? Okay, that's cool. We need more girl drummers, okay? I'm a surfer as well, and you know, we're seeing a lot more girls in the water. I'm hoping that drumming is going to take on that whole thing where girls will say, this is not a boys, you know, sports, not a boys gig, you know. There's plenty of girl bands. There's plenty of positions for girls to play. I think it's cool. So I just want to encourage you guys. If anybody doesn't have anything else they want to say. You know, I basically just would go home, and I was fortunate enough to be able to have a drum kit set up in my bedroom. And my parents, my dad was just, I can't believe he plays the drums. But my mom was like, oh, I think it's cool that he plays the drums. And my neighbors were like, oh, I can't believe this kid is a drummer next door. But I was fortunate enough to have a drum kit. And back then, when we had records and big old Koss headphones, I would come home every day from school, and I would put my favorite records on, and I would just mimic basically what I would hear on the records. And a lot of times, I didn't know, you know, what I was doing. So through time, I would just, you know, develop my way of playing what was on there. And it wasn't necessarily the way that it was played on the record, but it was my way of playing it, and that helped me to develop my own style. And I think that that's kind of important because you, as you develop your own style, you become a unique player. There's a lot of guys that will go and they'll pick out one drummer and they will copy everything he does, and they just become a little version of him. And so when you are able to broaden your horizons and listen to different players, different styles of music, then you'll incorporate bits and pieces of those things, and you'll be able to kind of develop your own style. I don't by any means want to say lessons are not important or lessons are not cool. If you have the ability or the time and the money to go take lessons, go take lessons, and you know, take them from, you know, your local music store. Some semi-pro guys will give lessons. A good friend of mine, Evan Stone, is a teacher and also a phenomenal drummer. Actually worked with the drummer of The Offspring, because when they would record, he had a lot of trouble. And so Evan stepped in and actually gave him lessons and helped him with his timing. It was just basically a timing issue. And yeah, developing your own style is cool, but taking lessons, and I never learned how to read. If you know how to read drumming charts, that may open up gigs for you, and it may help you with a worship type of scenario, because if a church happens to be sensitive to the fact that they even write drum charts for worship songs, then you can get the church to get those, and you can actually have them there, and then you can actually follow along and play rather than just improvise, because sometimes, you know, improvising, you run the gambit of being on it or off it. And when you're off it, a lot of times we get back to that issue of, you know, it's hard to worship when you're not on your game. So I think you do, and that's one of the reasons why I never learned how to read. But I'm just saying that, you know, some guys may be able to, you know, I know you have a stick in each hand, but you may be able to creatively be able to turn that page and go with it. The nice thing about being able to read charts is that if you're called up on a moment's notice and there's a specific repertoire of songs that they want you to play that you don't know, you are able to go in and, in that environment and be able to read and follow along and basically play what's supposed to be played theoretically. So there is certainly an application for that, and I would encourage anybody who wants to learn to do it, because anytime you're learning, I think it's a positive experience for you, and I think it will, you know, ultimately help you as a musician, as a drummer. Anything else? Any other thoughts, comments? Yeah. Oh, I have your sticks, by the way. I had to borrow sticks from this guy over here because I didn't have any. I came in here and I was like, oh, okay, no sticks. I don't have anything with me. So I borrowed sticks from him. He's like, what? Hey, I got a pair of drumsticks. I'm like, are you going to be in this seminar at 4:15? He's like, yeah. And I go, oh, okay, I'm the guy that's going to be talking to you, but can I borrow your sticks? So, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that kind of is what I was getting back to initially in saying that, you know, it's a state of mind and a state of heart. And when you are in that environment, if you know that these guys or this situation is going to drag you down and pull you away from your relationship with God, then you need to, you know, step out of that situation. And you know, kudos to you for being able to make that call, you know, because some guys aren't able to do that and they do get dragged down. And, you know, I can't say that God's not going to teach them a lesson through that or speak to them through that, because who am I to say that God doesn't want that guy to experience something that later on can be used to glorify him? I don't know. I don't know. But if you know it and God's speaking to you in your heart, then you got to make that stand. I'm 47, okay, almost 48. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, just to give you kind of along your lines, I was, there was a Christian band called LSU, originally started out as Lifesavers. Michael Knott was the singer of that band. And, he's put out some of the more well-known kind of artsy underground Christian, alternative rock over the past 10 years or so. And, he did a side project that was a mainstream band called the Aunt Bettys, and we got signed to Elektra Records and had a massive record deal and a massive publishing deal, and had, you know, Seymour Stein signed us, who had signed the Ramones. He signed Madonna, came to our shows. Quentin Tarantino used to come to our shows, and we played up in, and it's not there anymore, but I can't remember the name of the club. But anyway, all that to say, you know, we did South by Southwest. We played all over the country, and he and I were the only Christians in the band, and the other two guys in the band weren't Christian. And a lot of that activity, when you start to get popular and you start to get successful and you get a lot of stuff thrown at you, stuff started to happen. And, you know, I stood my ground, and one day I felt God saying to me, I needed to quit. And I did. I quit. And I was lambasted for quitting. The label tried to get me to stay, and the management, I thought they were going to kill me. Because when I quit, then the band just kind of disintegrated. Not because of me necessarily, but because I think that anchor, if you will, that light that was there got taken out of the situation. And unfortunately, you know, other people in that band never really survived what they went through, you know. But I knew enough, you know, I knew God's voice enough to say, as much as I like the success and the notoriety, I have to step away from this because this is starting to drag me down. And I don't want my relationship with Christ to suffer for that. So, yeah, you have to be sensitive. You got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, man. You have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit no matter what situation you're in. But especially when it comes to music, because it's, you know, it's tough. So it's 5:15. We've been here an hour. Class dismissed. Okay, wait, one question. Go ahead. Yeah. A fat on this thing? Oh, my gosh. Well, just so they know that I did hit something in here. I don't know if this is a pretty bad situation here. Hold on. Thank you. you guys very much. I'm going to hang around for a few minutes if you got any other questions.